Broadcasting 2.0 for October 27, 2023, episode 152. Drop the talk. Hello. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is time once again for the official board meeting, and we do it in the only boardroom where everybody has a gavel. Everything happening at podcastindex.org with a namespace. Oh, the crazy chapters and all the goings-on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. My personal calm in any storm, and he's high on meds, ladies. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
High on meds.
High on meds.
Low on chapter boosts. The chapter boost thing, I mean, talk about that stirred up a bunch of stuff I was not expecting.
Oh, I love it.
Everybody hates chapter boosts.
No, that's not true. First of all, let's take a breath, everybody. Dave, you're not feeling well, so we have to give you, do you want the comfy chair? Hey, why don't you take the bean, you want the bean bag?
can I have a stuffed animal?
Do you need a comfort animal, a comfort toy to make you feel better?
Yes. Yeah. What do they call those? Emotional support.
Emotional support bear. Exactly.
There you go.
All
I have is an emotional support beef shake, and it's really cold and not very fun to hold on to.
Yeah. All right. Yes. I'll take this one. I've been preparing for this one for a week. The chapter boost.
Just envision me behind you, rubbing the shoulders, smacking the arms, getting you ready. Like giving you pep
it's
talks.
Good. No, this is really really good. We learned so much. Now, first of all, these only really happened on my feed. So, it was amazing to see how far people took this as we are doing and we're this and we shouldn't be doing that. And this is ruining everything. And it's like, hold on a second, just a couple of feeds I maintain. It's not the end of the world. Nothing has changed.
It is though.
Spec has not changed. No. What we learned and what I learned, which let me just back up and explain what happened for people who are new. Based upon an ad hoc idea, John Spurlock put together the Reflex service, which enables you to route boostograms that are sent to a podcast or to an episode to be rerouted and added to the currently an existing chapters file with timestamps, and they would show up in the chapters interface. I'm going to call it that for a specific reason.
Chapters interface.
Okay. Yes, because there's two pieces to chapters. And this is what I learned, and I have to say I am incredibly happy to learn not just that people love chapters, but that they use them. This was, to me, was really not well known before all this, but there's two, when I say chapter interface, there's what I love is chapter images. I love looking at, if I'm driving in the car or if I'm just listening, I typically don't. If it's a show that has good chapters, I want to see what images come by. So Mere Mortals, Kyron does great images. And it's an extra dimension to an audio podcast. So to see images come by and then a boostagram with a message and then another image, delightful. What I personally never use, but what I think chapters are used for the most, is the table of contents. This is what it screwed up. The table of contents people use to come back to a podcast, particularly some of the longer ones that I produce on feeds, where people like, or to skip certain segments. I think people use it for that as well, which obviously I'm not a huge fan of, but I understand it and chapters are in there for a reason. So if someone like, I want to skip this topic, I want to go to the next topic, so that it works incredibly well for that. Mm-hmm. So putting in the boostograms that show up in the table of contents of chapters, which people say is chapters. No, chapters is a chapter object. I went back, I looked at the spec, and I learned something about the spec. The chapter object is boostograms with a timestamp are completely valid as a chapter object, but not the way people use chapter table of contents. So luckily, the foresight of some brilliant people, I don't know exactly who, there is a extra little option you can set, which is TOC equals false. It is true by default or if omitted. So in moving forward in this experiment, and I still consider it to be experiment, I asked John Spurlock to immediately label all boostograms as TOC equals false so that they will not show up in the table of contents and therefore will satisfy everybody who had an issue. And it's 100% of the negative feedback was about not the chapters, the table of contents.
Yes.
Now, of course, exactly 0% of apps have implemented that because we're all busy developers and we all have stuff to do and it works and that's fine. We don't have to look at it.
Oops.
What do you mean? Oops.
Well, nobody implemented the full spec.
No, that's okay. I mean, I didn't expect it.
It's totally not a criticism. No, half-ass specs all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So based upon a lot of feedback that I got, because they're my feeds, so I got most of the feedback, and most of it that was negative was extremely negative.
Very negative.
But it was really only about the table of contents, not about the images that fly by, the images that you would see on your car system if you're using an app that does CarPlay or Android Auto, which I find delightful.
Me too.
And to me, that is, I love those chapter changes. I don't use table of, that's not true. Even I think on one or two shows may use the table of contents, but it's typically, so it would be like, a good example would be Pod News Weekly Review. If I'm really bored of the interview, then I'll say, okay, boom, let me get past this and I can easily find the next spot. And I,
perfect example. I do the same thing.
And I would totally understand if, and there's all different, every app responds in a different way. So some, we don't have to get into it. The table of contents should be holy.
The table of contents is for skipping.
Yes.
Through, it's for skipping to the end of somebody who's talking about brand uplift strategy.
That's only reason for it. It's only for that. So in my mind, and this is what I would propose, that it seems like, what happened was very interesting because there was a very long thread and it was like, and it got into cross app comments and we should be showing these in a different file and all this. No, I disagree with all of that. This is just another chapter object. It's a valid top chapter object because it's based on a timeline and it has data. It is invalid as a table of contents item. So it seems like it wouldn't be a huge, I'm speaking for every developer in the world. Hey, it's easy. Just put in a TOC, filter that out.
Yeah, pull request.
Yeah, do a pull request. It's done. I would like to add to that something that was in a thread that you were on for future uses, and that would be type equals. Because I totally see where there could be many different types of chapter markers that do not belong in the table of contents. That actually, again, I feel that the chapter images, what rotates on my screen when I'm listening to, I particularly like it with music shows. When you're hearing a song, boom, the album art changes, boom, then the next song. That's very enjoyable to see that. Which is why radio stations do it. RDS does this all the time. You're driving, you see the album change. This is a very normal, very very well understood type of interface for listening. Not all cars or apps are compatible, but I see the work that's being done. I think Podverse has done a lot of work on that. So I totally see a type equals as a valid addition to the spec that should be considered. But the issue, and I never, it's the weirdest thing. I finally understand part of Dave Weiner. Because Dave Weiner would say, oh, your app is broken. Because it doesn't know how to filter out a TOC equals false. Now, he wouldn't have this whole conversation behind it because he's probably he would just say your app is broken. Crickets. It's no good. Your app is no good without giving any explanation. Yes. So I would love for the for podcast apps to at minimum filter out the TOC equals false chapter markers so that sanity is restored to the universe. But okay, I would also like to continue with the showing boostergrams in the chapter system, because I like seeing it. I think people who send boostergrams like seeing it. You know, it's fun. And with the type equals, you know, it can be used for, you know, it can be used in different pieces of a, of an app interface. And we could come up with more types of chapter images, which it's, when you think about it, this is really a third dimension, as I said, where it's an additional dimension to podcasting, certainly in automobiles, that hasn't really gotten a lot of love. But you know, because, you know, even the idea of rotating images by itself is relatively new. But it's well understood in automobiles. So we could have all kinds of new things popping up there. And I think a type equals is something to consider.
So let me add flavor text to what you're saying, because I think that, I think your instinct is correct. The TOC toggle is already there. True, false. That solves an immediate issue. If you implement that, that sort of gets you over the hair on fire. Oh my God, what are these things doing in my chapters?
Mm-hmm.
So that's there. I want to add some flavor to that though, because there's not. Is that a douchey thing? If I say I want to add some flavor, that's all of a sudden I realize I sound kind of like a douche.
Are you wearing cargo pants when you say it or not?
Cargo. ooh, that's a hard question to answer.
Do you have Bermuda shorts on? Because
no, I don't.
You're in your underwear, aren't you? Okay, stop. We need no visuals.
Okay.
Are you streaming video? Can we see you on the No Agenda Tube? Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna let me back that up. Okay. Let me add some color.
Racist. Yes. Okay.
This is no, right downhill. The type. So the TOC really, it solves this problem, but it's not the intended solution to this problem. Like, you know, and this is part of, this happens to all specifications. You start where you know, you start where you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, okay, here's the things we have in front of us. And if you go too far and try to envision everything that could possibly come in the future, you get it. You'll inevitably get it wrong and F it up. So you really have to start with what is right in front of you. And that's kind of what we did. And it's like, okay, we have two use cases. We have standard chapter modeling, which is what has always been there in like the ID3 tags in the audio file and all these different chapter formats. Like that's like your baseline. You need to have a table of contents for different content sections within the episode. But then we also had this other idea of having the chapters be editable by the crowd,
mm-hmm.
Which our crowd consists of Dreb Scott. I mean, like
that's the crowd,
basically the entire crowd.
One Dreb Scott is Dreb, and two Dreb Scott's a crowd.
yes. So, but the idea there, cloud chapters, is what enabled something like this thing to happen.
To happen, yes.
To begin with.
Yeah.
So we have, last time I checked, a couple months ago, we had like around 13,000 listeners to this show a month. So I guarantee you some people have no idea what we're talking about. We're simply talking about when people send a boost, should it show up as an event, a time marker in the chapters of the show? And so without cloud-based chapters, things like that wouldn't even be possible.
Correct.
So that's the two things we know. We know that you need chapters, chapter bookmarks within the file, within the episode, and you also need them to be editable. Now, there was this other thing that came in, and this the TOC thing actually came in from when we imported the format from
the previous Bjorman. Namespace, right?
No, it was Frederick Bjorman. He had this app, this Mac app called Mac Chapters, I think is what it was called. He had a JSON format already. And ours, when we looked at them, this is like 3 years ago.
Right in the beginning. Yeah. Right in the beginning.
Very early. Yeah. So we found this sort of prior art, if you want to speak about JSON cloud chapters, where he had this format that almost exactly matched the format that we had been working on.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, why don't we I reached out to him and like, why don't we combine and make these formats mesh together? That way we immediately have a tool that already produces this format, which is your tool. And then we can say, okay, hey, you want cloud chapters? Go and use this tool. Now this is before Hypercatcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he had in there this idea of this table of contents flag, which ended up, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's a great idea. Sometimes you want to have a marker that happens in the chapters that isn't visible as a bookmark, but it's an event placeholder almost. So you could imagine something like a location tag or a picture change.
Right. Yes, exactly. Or an ad or a sponsor message could be, you know, an MK Ultra zap.
It could be. Yes.
If you look at it, then you get mind controlled. Any of that. Yes.
All valid. And so this idea of having a table of contents visibility flag, true,
mm-hmm,
false, was very appealing. So we're like, yeah, let's pull that right in. That's what the intent was, to have invisible things show up only in the podcast UI and not in the chapter table of contents.
Which is what, and that's the disconnect, just to add some color to your color. When people say, you messed chapters up, what they're saying is, because they sent me screenshots. No one sent me a screenshot of the UI of a square image and saying, this is messed up. No, they said, I can't skip ahead. I can't find where I was. I'm going to say it 100% correct feedback. Correct feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely correct. And a table of contents, to me, literal, is the table of contents of the contents of the podcast.
Right. But here's where I don't think that ultimately the table of contents toggle. I think this is a short-term fix that needs a correct fix, which is the type parameter.
Right.
So because the table of contents is a hammer, you are saying, as the creator of the chapters, you are saying, I don't want this visible, but some people might want it visible. I enjoy the chapters. I like the boosts in the chapters. I like them in the table of contents. Mm. I enjoy that. Mm. I don't know. And I think, see, the only reason I can say why I like it is because it's fun to me to, I actually use chapters a lot because I go back and forth. I skip and then I go back.
You know what it became for me?
Chapter user.
For me, it became like a helipad.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm like, hey, who boosted? What's the, and then you click in it to get the message. I understand what you're saying. Absolutely.
It was fun in to listen to last week's No Agenda. And then I flipped open the chapters and see all these boosts in there. Mm-hmm. And those boosts never get shown in No Agenda because they're right. not, it's, you know, because of
John C. Dvorak.
Because of JCD.
Yes.
So it was fun to see that people are boosting and what their messages were and all that kind of stuff. But to me, it adds to it. I like it, but that's just me personally. But see there, I like it, mm-hmm. but Sir Libra hates it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with a capital H.
Right, with a K. Hates it.
Like this, so, there's no Jesus in that mofo. He's like, no. I hate this.
And he hates it. I like it. That tells you that the podcaster should not be controlling whether those things are visible in my app. It should be me that controls whether they're visible. Therefore, table of contents isn't the appropriate long-term fix. If we put a type parameter in there and say, okay, this chapter object is of type boost, then I can go and toggle a flag in the settings of Podverse and say, I want to see boosts in my chapters. But Sir Libra can say that he does not.
Right.
And now it's our decision, not the podcaster's decision. The podcaster can still make that decision if they want to, but they probably don't want to. You know, that is a personal preference. Like there are some things that should be controlled from the source, and there's some things that should be controlled on the end user. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of those things that most of the time should be controlled by the end user. And once we have a type parameter, then we can go in and do this for other things that inevitably will pop up.
So looking at the chapter namespace entry, it feels like with what you're saying, waypoints may be misplaced as an optional attribute that might be a type equals waypoint. Instead of it being an optional attribute equal to author, title, podcast name, etc.
Say that again. Okay. This.
So you look at the chapter object. Uh-huh. And I'm just taking it very literal. So the chapter object has a start time and has a title. Mm-hmm. Optional image, URL, table of contents, end time, and location. Mm-hmm. So location feels to me like if you're going to do a type equals, that should be one of the types instead of a, I don't know if anyone has implemented it as an optional attribute. I'm not sure.
Good question.
But it seems like, you know, so, 'cause that could be something that if it's a location and I'm looking at the interface, not the table of contents, the interface, it may pop up and show me a map with that actual location, or, you know, show me distance to that location, or any of these different things. But that
or a link to open a map app.
Yes,
or something.
Yeah. So that to me would be an excellent use of type equals location.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one, and that is probably a good thing to ask. We need a poll.
Oh God. Oh, no, we don't. Woe is me.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
A poll. No.
We need to know if any ad developers, are using the location spec in there. I suspect they are not. Just because I've never seen it.
But also, I can imagine where you would have a table of contents, but you might actually have in between two markers, visible and thus clickable and navigatable in the table of contents, you might have 20 images in between that just flip real fast. I mean, you might have video. I mean, why not?
Like a flip book?
Why not? Yeah, of a stick figure going, hey.
Yeah, or the one where they bash the head in or whatever.
Rotoscope. Yeah. And I really like this because to me, I learned so much from this exercise. And thank you all for your passionate feedback, because I really learned how important that table of contents is for a lot of people. I'm more like you. Where I, as I said, I kind of use a helipad. Oh, who boosted in? Who, what'd they have to say? But there can be all kinds of information in that is an entirely new dimension. Now I know, and I don't even have to look at the chat room to see Daniel J. Lewis saying, you know, this needs to be in a completely separate thing. It has to be, but what I'm worried about is we have something that's working. It's just the interpretation of what a chapter is what we're hung up on here. I mean, I'm not hung up on it, but to me, everybody who uses chapters in the traditional ID3 tag manner, which included the table of contents, optional, Boolean, is using it in a very specific way. And the display in the UI, that's where all the magic can happen. And chapters for me is exactly what it says on the package. There's a title and a timestamp. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. It's any content in there should be valid, not in the table of contents, because we know that's a use case. That's a use case that, you know, we'd be breaking. We broke people. People got broken from this.
They did a lot more than I thought. I mean, like there was a lot of negative feedback. I just did not anticipate the negative. I did not anticipate the volume of people that did not like this.
But I loved that because it immediately showed me what was wrong within a week. Like within days, like, oh, I see what's wrong. I immediately pinged Spurlock. I said, would you please add TOC equals false to every single boostergram that you put in the chapters? And he did that immediately.
Drop the talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Drop the talk. Whew, so I like that. Drop the talk.
On Daniel's, you know, he really wants this thing to be completely different. We're not going to rip the chapter spec out and start from scratch. It would be so disruptive.
Yeah.
It's not happening. But I don't think it, but that's not incompatible with what you want. See, like in the evolution of chapters into a file that contains lots of different things, that is happening.
It's a natural evolution. It's here.
It is. Yes, it is a natural evolution. The only thing that is, that's what this is doing right now. What happened is we hit a new use case. We see that the spec isn't handling this in an ideal way. So now we're going to go and extend the spec to make it fit the use case. So that that developers don't have to rip and replace. All they have to do is now go in and tweak their implementation to support this new thing. Yeah. And I imagine over to 10 years from now, there's probably gonna be tons of stuff in the chapters file.
Yes.
And calling it a chapter is completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter what it's called. That's only in this document that no end user ever sees.
Right.
So so as far as Daniel's proposal is going to happen. It is happening as time goes by. But and that's why. But you can't anticipate what you need in the future and go ahead and put it in now, because we would have never been able to anticipate this use case.
No, never. Never would have gotten this far.
No, there's no way we would have known this would happen 3 years ago. So you just have to respond. You just have to respond to this thing. And I think the spec is the format of the file is flexible enough to handle if we do it in a responsible way, it's flexible to handle tons of stuff.
Yeah. Which I think is what Daniel is talking about. And I can, absolutely. I can envision several use cases. And again, brought to you by messages, sponsor messages, scrolling lower thirds. I mean, this could be an entire new interface for the people that pretend they watch podcasts instead of listen to them, might actually enjoy. Well, you could just have two, could have you and me, a picture of you and me animated with headphones on in front of, like Dame Jennifer does for animated No Agenda. I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff with that.
Yeah. And so the chapters is, it's interesting. I mean, thinking this week, one thing that we've talked a lot about is Super Chat and having a time-stamped way of playing back events that happen in the podcast upon later playback. So we're having a live show right now. People are boosting. People are talking in the chat room. You know, when you go to replay that podcast later, that podcast episode, how are you going to pull that information back in so that it looks like what, you know, what YouTube does during a live broadcast when you watch the replay?
Right.
And you have the comments coming in, the boosts, whatever they call
super
them.
Chat.
The super chats come in. Like, that's always been kind of a
dream.
A dream and a complicated build out. You know, you go back and forth and you say, well, maybe we could do it this way, maybe we could do it that way. And this is the first time I've seen something that sort of meets that goal. I mean, because now what you do is you can take this and drop it into a super chat, and now you are sort of replaying the events back as they happen.
Totally.
You could, 'cause here's what I'm saying, and this goes along again with Daniel's proposal. Now you're using the chapters file not as the podcast app could use, like Podverse or Podcast Guru could use the chapters file for displaying table of contents.
Mm-hmm.
A replay of a super chat version of this live show could use it and just ignore the table of contents and only show the boosts.
Yep. Can do, but yeah.
It's sucking out whatever it needs.
And if you make that user definable, that's even more fun.
Yeah. And then, so let's go further with this. In order to make that happen, in order to make that more reliable, what we could do is also add a UTC timestamp into these boosts. So that when the boost comes into the chapters file, it comes in with the original timestamp of when the boost happened.
I think Reflex is already doing that. It says this boost was sent 6 hours, 32 minutes after the show was released.
Okay. So that if I'm looking at it right now, the raw JSON of one of our episodes. And there's not, what we need is a property, like a CTOC false.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is another property. And this is just me spitballing. Okay.
Yeah.
If we had another property that was like, that said, like, some, let's call it universal time or, you know, UTC colon, and then a Unix timestamp of the UTC of the moment that the boost happened in real world time.
Mm.
Then if you had that, then when you play it back, you can say, okay, the live event started at this moment and then the boost happened at this moment, and you just do diff the seconds out and know when to show it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the start time, may not always match.
Right.
Universal time.
Right. And that goes for shows that are recorded live before a dead studio audience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, these are all spitball ideas, but this is the idea. This is, to me, this shows the power of what's possible with doing this.
I'm with you.
This is fantastic. I mean, this is the spirit of what Daniel wanted.
Yes.
I think it's, you know, it's happening naturally.
So Daniel says in the chat room, why separate boostergrams from comments? I want to say right now, this has nothing to do with comments.
I agree.
Cross app comments is a spec. I implement it. I publish it, and it's never taken off for whatever reason. There's, I believe there's multiple ways to do it, not just ActivityPub. I'm publishing to ActivityPub. It's in most of the apps somewhere, or some of the apps somewhere, and for whatever reason, it hasn't taken off. I disagree fundamentally with putting comments. These are not comments. Boostergrams are not comments. They're boostergrams.
Maybe I took his comment to mean, why shouldn't they go not in the chapters file, but in this other comments file or comments thing instead of the chapters. And that's a messy answer, but I think that the issue for now is that chapters are something people use. Comments are something that they do that nobody uses.
Right. Yeah. For whatever reason, yeah. You know, it's just, it is what it is. And there's
you go with what works. Yeah. I mean, like when people tell you, you know, you can't make people use a thing.
No.
And when people, you have to go, like, skate to where the puck is instead of, you know, instead of trying to always go for the goal. I mean, for your idea of what the goal is going to be. I mean, ideally, all of these things would be distinct streams of data that are coming in and accessible at any period of time. But the podcast apps, I mean, it's a struggle just to get podcast apps to support chapters, but we have a good batch of apps that do support chapters.
Yeah, almost every single one supports them. This is what's so beautiful about it. It's easy. And that's what was so powerful to me is without the app developers doing a single thing, we made it worse.
They lost a star for free.
It reminded me of one of the biggest complaints that I hear that I find so sad is, people say to me, you know, I tried that fill in the blank app out and it gave me an ad before the show that I was listening to.
Yeah.
You know, and so the apps get blamed for these things. And of course, in this case, it has nothing to do with the app. It has to do with, you know, with a hack in a way, but a completely valid hack. But I pissed off my audience, and of course, I think in general, people, you know, the apps got blamed in an odd way, even though most people who complained understand, they're like, you know, whatever it is, this sucks. But I really, really evaluated what was going on, and I we don't have to hash over it again. But I think this is an excellent idea. The quick fix for everybody is TOC equals false is now being published. And I say that with the utmost respect because I'm not a developer, and I know you have to publish a new version. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on with that. It's not like, you know, presto, it's done, it's fixed for everybody.
Oh yeah, it's a pain.
It's definitely a pain. So perhaps we can add to this the you know, get it all in one go and start with the type equals as an addition to the spec, so that we can at least put a couple of things in there. So boostergram would be one, location would be another, so that we can at least start to build out our list of things that can then be parsed out and the app can either decide to let the user decide what they want to see, or determine how they want to show it. You know, it'd be easier if like, oh, this is Boostergram. I think it's cool if in my app it shows up this way, whatever that may be. But I think we can really build this out. So chapters to me is just, you know, the table of contents is clear. It's defined. The what a chapter marker is blue skies.
But yeah, that's it. Reading from Rules for Standards Makers, remember, which is the developmental Bible of podcasting 2.0. If practice deviates from the spec, change the spec. In writing the spec for RSS 0.91, I found that a lot of the limits imposed by the earlier spec were being ignored by developers. So I left those limits out of the 0.191 spec. Nobody complained.
Right.
That's the thing. You can't force developers to do anything. You have to watch what they do and then adapt your desires to meet the reality of what they are doing.
The defense is wrong.
Thanks, C. Mike.
Who was that?
Okay. I don't know.
But that just sounded like Fran Drescher.
We got like,
you're completely wrong.
The defense is wrong.
Wrong. That's what's her face from Taking my cousin Vinny.
Oh, my cousin Vinny. Yeah.
Marissa Tomei. So to me, like, we learned a big thing. I'm incredibly happy we learned this. I love that everybody gave such animated feedback. And to me, I think this is a much bigger turning point than we all realize, because we have the framework. Now we can expand that. And the sky is the limit. And I'm going to revisit Daniel J's proposal for all the other stuff that's in there that can become a type of chapter object. With the quick fix being respect the TOC equals false.
Yeah, and that should be in there anyway. I mean, that should is a dirty word, so I try not to say that. But that, I mean, it is part of the spec and has been there since the beginning. So it is a good idea. I won't say should. It is a good idea to follow the full spec and support TOC.
Right. And we know that this can happen because we went through a couple weeks of everyone upping their game on TLVs. Same thing. You know, people were sending basic info. Not everyone. And we have that lovely grid that Spurlock put together. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, unfortunately, there's a lot of work to be done. But, you know, if we all get up to speed, man, then we're really cooking with gas, as you would say.
Yeah, this has been a great learning experience, because we don't know what all can happen here. This is, like I said a while ago, this is a thing I was not prepared for to see. Then I saw it and I loved it, then saw that other people hated it. And the whole thing was just, it was a fascinating, experiment. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. It was like a real aha moment. And for me, as I said, like, oh wow, people really rely on these chapter markers. That's a huge deal. Now, I had no idea. I've always wondered, you know, how much do people care about chapters? Well, now we know. It's very passionate. Very, very passionate. So, okay.
Cool.
I'd like to move on to another topic here for a couple of reasons. The headline is Spotify is changing how it pays artists with a new streaming royalty model.
Oh, I thought you were going. I thought you were going to go to Spotify's profitable high five.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. If you take out costs, payroll, taxes. Yeah, yeah, okay. But operational profit. The headline reads is very cute. But no, if I really look through all the podcast industrial complex news from this week, what I'm seeing is advertising is up, but it's really only inserted stuff. And that's like, it's 15% of all advertising. And what it tells me is advertising sucks. Things are not going well with the podcast industrial complex. My personal opinion. And I'm not sponsored by Spotify. So to me, and it was actually Paul Thurrott who had a pretty good breakdown. I'll put the link in the show notes. He says, this is a very interesting way of reporting profit.
Yeah. Because, if we suspend for the moment the idea that profit is having more money at the end than you did
all
at the beginning.
After you paid your mortgage and all that.
Yes. If we take that out for the moment, then yes, they were profitable.
Now, of course, you have to add to that, they fired a lot of people. And literally, the Eck and the CFO were saying, well, you know, we reduced the fixed expenses, which is always people, and we raised our monthly rate. Okay. So you got a little bit of a difference there. Mm-hmm. But just skipping over that, because it's more interesting to me, in light of remote item and value for value music shows, which I want to talk about for a second. And Billboard kind of put a negative spin on it, but it's easy to see the negative spin. I'll just read the opening paragraph. Spotify is changing how it pays artists, new streaming royalty model, a new threshold of minimum annual streams that a track must meet before it starts to generate royalties. The threshold, according to MBW, I don't know what that is.
Business Worldwide.
Ah, thank you. Will demonetize tracks that had previously received 0.5% of Spotify's royalty pool, which I can only imagine is a very large amount of people who are just putting stuff up there and hoping that something happens. Mm-hmm. Financial penalties for music distributors and labels when fraudulent activity on tracks when they have uploaded to Spotify has been detected. So they are now admitting that there's scamming going on. Surprise, there's gambling going on there. And a minimum playtime length that non-music noise tracks such as bird sounds or white noise must reach to generate royalties. So I asked Julie Costello to respond. I have a quick text from her. This is my trick with her. I send a question on text message, so she's limited.
The thumbs can only handle so much.
So they've been talking about this for some time. Theoretically, this would help artists like Ainsley, quote, a professionally aspiring artist who gets lost in the 100,000 tracks a day noise. I really can't give an opinion until it's in play. Interpretation, I believe it when I see it. They've been talking about artists first for years. Yeah, the music business has always talked about artists first. But mm-hmm. we have not experienced any artist first relationship with either the distributors or app or music players. The label still holds the purse strings, so they get the attention. Without a deal or label, we won't get noticed. And I think that's true. And this plays right into the opportunity that has just been exploding of value for value music in podcasts, which you can call a music show or whatever you want to call it. The other day, I played one track in Curry and the Keeper. We've played a track before. RSS Blue is the first out of the gate to include this in their hosting service. And I was hoping that, I know that there was an interview done that Sam did for Podcast Weekly Review, but for whatever reason, it didn't make it into the show, but Dovidas is announcing it today. So I wanted to make sure that we help him, and mm-hmm. I'm going to start sending music over there. I went through a demo account. And it's a very cool way. Have you seen it? It's a very cool way that he's done this.
Not seen it.
Yeah. So he, hold on a second. There's actually a link. So the way he's done this is he has the music lookup, which is very similar to what Stephen B did with Splitkit. He has the music lookup, so you can look for an artist. You can then tag him. Okay. This is either before you make the show or after you've recorded the show. Either way, doesn't matter. If you do it before you do the show, it's very similar where you get you can download all the tracks. It zips it up for you, so you can download them and then put them into your show. And the way he's done the interface for adding the value time splits, aka the magic wallet switching technology, is through the chapters file. Surprise, surprise. just to make things more interesting. So you download the chapter file, a JSON, which then has all of those tracks inserted, and then you upload, and I may be saying this wrong for the flow, but basically you can upload your chapter file, which will include all of the VTS time splits in there, and you can add it to an existing chapter file. So if you know it does, it doesn't mean it has to dominate your chapters. Then you manually enter the time, the start time, and I think the end time of each song. And then you publish, and it has the value time splits baked right into your feed.
Oh,
there's no step. There's no step six.
Step six. okay. That's an interesting way to do it.
I liked it because chapters are familiar. You know, are familiar for. So basically, you're uploading a chapter file which has been semi created for you. And then you can add to that or do whatever you want. And then you just have to hit the time codes.
Yeah.
So it's in a process that his customers already understand with the chapter file, just now with the addition of music and setting the time code.
Okay. So that just makes it where it's not a new thing to learn for them. They already kind of
get
it already.
Exactly. And nice. I'm going to be sending people over as of today because I got DJs banging on my door who already have produced shows and they're ready to go. And I told them, wait.
Yeah. Halt.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's dynamite. And in general, and of course he's very nimble because, you know, he's smaller. But what Dovidas is doing is he's just knocking it out of the park, man. It's fantastic, the stuff he's doing.
That's good. Yeah, this is...
I'm sorry, he just boosted end times for value time splits are calculated based on audio duration. Okay, so you only have to do the start time. It does the end time automatically.
It pulls that information
from
itself.
Exactly. And it does, you know, in the chapters, you have nice little album art, the link to the whatever is in the link. Of the value time split. And as I said, you can, you can set the value, the share value, you know, just like the big boys do it. And you can add one. Basically you can edit the chapters and you could set that in yourself, you know,
And so where's the lookup is using the, us, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. He has a song lookup.
I don't know if he's using Ellen Beats or something. I don't know.
I think he's either, he's going to boost the Grammys in a minute and tell us. He's either using directly from the API or maybe he's getting a copy and doing something more local for quicker lookup. I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you, by the way, Stephen Bell, in the split kit. He has now made it so that you can quickly peruse through all the most recently added reverse chronological order songs. So I don't have to go to five different places to try and find everything.
What do you mean? Are you talking about across all of split kit or just you?
So he queries the index. So also, so if it was added from Wavelake or added from Music Side Project or someone doing, if it's in the index, it's now immediately available in the split kit for my workflow. So my workflow is I want to check all the new songs that come in. So I have to go to all these different places to find the new songs. Now there's one place for me. It's the split kit. I'm in there and the most recent additions are at the top.
Oh, I see. So he's looking at, that's probably why he wanted a filter on recently added music shows.
Here's Dovidas paying us to give us answers. 5,000 sats again. I have a local copy of the DB to enable fuzzy search. I also resolve Fountain and Podverse track links if that's how DJs find their music. There you go.
A local copy of the DB.
Yeah.
A local copy.
Of the DB, our DB, I guess.
Is that, that must be the weekly download. And so then he's making a fuzzy.
Yeah, he may be checking periodically to update.
I love that. Okay. So I love it when people grab the database and do their own thing.
Yeah.
It's more decentralized than everybody just simply pointing to us, which I don't mind people using us. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. But it is very cool to see people just grabbing the the database and running their own thing.
Yes, exactly.
That's a great thing to see.
I'm so tickled by all of this. I really am. It's fantastic.
There's going to be a lot of people that just stop making any money at all once Spotify puts those things in.
Well, people already aren't making any money. I mean, if they made
$5, now they're going to get zero.
Yes. So here's a question that neither of us are really, well, you're more qualified than I am to answer, but this is one that I've detected out there, and it's part of this is part of remote item. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure. Let me see if I can frame the issue. First I want to thank Mike Newman profusely, because the automatic submission from Wavelake to the podcast index appears to be Mike Newman.
Yes, he is the automatic. Yes.
I had no idea.
I saw him in their release notes. We implemented a new feature. It's called Mike Newman.
They did a pull request and Mike Newman showed up.
Yes. <that's right. laughs>
So artists, if Mike Newman has not added you, you may not show up in my workflow. I may not be aware of your music and therefore may not be able to put it into my shows.
You may want to boost him so that he knows that you exist.
Yes, yes. And it seems like something that hopefully Wavelake would just do on their own accord.
He's the distro kid of Podcasting 2.0 music.
That's a horrible thing to call anybody. Okay. You don't want to be the distro kid of anything.
I take it back, Mike. I take it back.
So I've been thinking, and because there's this conversation of, and I think it's a lack of understanding of RSS in general, because artists are coming to the project and saying, well, considering how I need different splits for different songs, should I have, and this is only because they have poor interfaces and don't have per item value block splits on Wavelake as an example, or just a general lack of understanding.
Per feed, you mean? Yeah.
Well, Wavelake has splits.
They do have per item. They don't have splits per feed.
No, Wavelake?
Yeah, they don't have value blocks in the feed. They have them only in the item.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, they don't put value blocks at the channel level. They only put them at the episode level.
Okay, but they... I thought it was exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm crazy.
That's why their feeds don't show up when under the new value-enabled feeds API endpoint, because they only value block the episode... the track. They don't value block the feed itself.
It's part of the same problem. At any rate, the question is, how should music be assembled? How should it be connected to an artist, and how should it be connected to the participants of each individual track? And there's valid reasons to have a feed level volume. Well, if item level overrides feed level, which is it does, right? Item overrides feed level.
What's the problem?
Okay, here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Okay,
the way I see this moving forward, what I think should happen is, Ainsley Costello, just use her to make it simple, should have an Ainsley Costello RSS feed. And that RSS feed should, I believe, have remote items that point to feeds that either are an album, mm-hmm, or perhaps even single tracks that if she has participated on someone else's music, but she has a split in that. Mm-hmm. Then she should be able to put that remote item into her personal feed, because I want to subscribe to Ainsley Costello, the artist.
Yeah.
So that when she releases something or does a collaboration with someone else, that can automatically flow through to her feed that will it's just not happening anywhere yet. So this is just me, spitballing as usual.
Sure.
I'd like to subscribe to her in an app, and then I'll see, okay, here's this album or collection that has five songs in it, and that shows up as a remote item because those splits may have to change somewhere down the line for recoupments, etc. So I just want to get the most recent valid information. But also, and I think this is where it's important, if she participated on a Sam Means track, then I want to see that show up in her feed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it has to bring in the Sam Means track value block and album art, etc. Is that the right way to think of these things?
No, I think that's a really good idea because you, so here's how I could see that happening. You would have, you know, for lack of a better term, a synthetic feed. And that I tend to use that term to mean a feed that just has content from other feeds in it.
Yes. Like an OPML file. Oh no, we're there again. Yes. Hello, Freedom Controller.
So the feed is like, you have this synthetic feed, which the biggest use of this concept is sermonaudio.com. So you have all these sermons being posted all the time under their initial source, which would be the preacher or the church that where they come from. But then you also have tons of these sermon audio podcasts that's a separate podcast feed, but it's just called something like forgiveness. Mm. And it's just got episodes from all across their catalog of sermons that are being posted that are tagged with that keyword. And so it's just pulling in you've got the original feed it came from over here with that sermon in it. And now you've got this forgiveness synthetic feed that's also got that same exact sermon in it. And they're pulling from that. And so like I had to discuss like Todd posted on the Mastodon this week. He's like, I'm having trouble understanding what the point of remote item is outside of the context of a value time split. And the concept is exactly this.
Yeah. It's a symlink.
Mm-hmm. Symlink. Yeah, exactly. It's a symlink.
An alias for those of you from the Mac world.
Uh-huh. Or a hyperlink.
Yeah.
It's just saying, hey, there's a thing over here, and rather than me recreating it, just go get it from the original source. You're telling that way you don't have to worry about the metadata going stale or getting screwed up,
right?
And so that's the concept here. So you would have to envision what you're saying, I would say, see there being an Ainsley Costello. Eric PP said a C name. Yeah, C name.
C name is another good one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, honestly, we could have called the attributes.
Well, you know what it is? What this tells me is we're on the right track because all these versions of it exist in the computing world. So we're on the right track with this idea.
The computer science name for all of this is an indirect reference.
And I have to correct myself. The remote item was in fact conceived and birthed by Alex Gates. I said that incorrectly on the Mere Mortals podcast.
Oh yeah,
I had the genesis of it wrong, so I apologize.
Great interview, by the way.
You know, Kyron's, it was good because I'd just been in the car for 4 hours taking Tina to the airport and driving back, and I had traffic, and then I jammed down, two Whataburgers before I got in. So I'd even texted, it was like, I can't do 8, let's do 9. So it was like 9:30 at night and I was tired. So then, I was just slower. And I think it's better for me.
It was chill. It was dope.
It was very, I was dope, man. Yeah. It was very chill. Yeah. But it was fun to do. I really enjoyed it. Kyron's such a good guy.
I was on Andy Lehman's podcast answer show,
which I've queued up. I'm excited to hear it. I saw the sound bites that were being published. You know, it's like RSS is the gate breaker, the gate crasher. I love that. I also used your big red button the other day. I used that on No Agenda.
Oh, nice. Well, my interview with him was exactly the opposite of yours. I sounded like a hamster. I just could not stop talking. I was all jazzed up.
I'm not so sure about that. You sounded pretty cool to me.
Okay. Well, the idea here is that there would be an Ainsley Costello feed that just consists of remote items to her actual feeds, whichever ones they are, whether it's an album or a single or whatever.
And can I make it even crazier?
Please do.
So there would be the top level, Ainsley Costello. Oh, it's so beautiful. Ainsley Costello feed, synthetic feed, whatever you want to call it. Boom, there's an album. Go tap on that. There's the tracks. Then from there, you might be able to see music from artists. So I might be able to see, there's the Sam Means song, and I can then hyperlink into Sam Means, or it was as played on Boostagram Ball. Go into Boostagram Ball. Oh, here's other tracks. And so you have your app all of a sudden becomes a media browser.
I'm going to support you. You threw me an alley-oop. I'm going to dunk it.
Here it goes.
Starting from the top down in this feed, and let's just call this what it is. This feed is a playlist.
Yeah.
So at the top, it is a medium type music L. It's a playlist.
There you go. There you go.
And at the channel level, you also have the person tag with Ainsley in it.
Yep.
With a link to her stuff and a picture of her.
Yeah.
Then you have all your remote items of links to her feeds and her tracks. Then at the end, you also have a pod roll tag linking to all the places that she showed up, Boostagram Ball, Sam Means, all these different and then a bunch of perhaps suggested albums that she likes.
Yes.
To recommend to you.
Yes.
And that is the fleshing out your vision. That's what the XML would look like.
You know what it is, right?
Share your OPML.
Yeah. It's OPML. Yes, it is. Share your OPML.
It's always,
it's OPML. Always OPML at the end. Are we ever going to get that done?
Christopher Isine has a shirt that says that on it. It's all OPML. That's the name.
Need that shirt. That's a great shirt. That's exactly what I need. Yeah, that's okay. So now
that's a beautiful experience, is what that is.
So the challenge, of course, is for feed creation interface. Which right now the top two guys doing this in my mind are Stephen Bell and Dovi Das.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they come up with, if they like this idea, if they like this basic premise, because the app should just be able to easily adapt to follow those, follow that trail, like a breadcrumb, basically. You go boom in, boom in, boom in, click, play, listen, what's here, and you're moving around. And you know what that is? Discovery.
Yeah, there could be apps that that do just this,
Yeah, I mean,
there really could be apps that just do playlists.
Oh, I just popped a boner.
Isobot.
Sorry. Okay. Metaphorical.
Metaphorical. Please don't make the show title Metaphorical Boner.
No. I already got dropped the talk. I mean, that's already beautiful.
This is the vision. I mean, I love this vision. Because that's how you get discovery. That's how you get organic discovery.
Yes.
When people begin to put recommendations into things
and people
and not
stick,
algorithms.
And people will stick in their apps. And it, just as you said,
put a stick in your app.
It can change the entire dynamics of apps. Just like you said, you may just have apps that are purely meant to browse through the RSS space.
Yeah. To me, one of the most exciting tags that has come up
is remote item.
Well, I mean, we already know that. That is a powerful tag that links things. That's glue. That's a glue tag that links things together. That's like DNS.
Yeah.
As far as a thing that's sort of underrated, a feature tag is Podroll. I really want to see if people start using this.
Yeah.
Because that's a recommendation engine just waiting to happen.
Yep. Totally.
I mean, we just need tools for it. Because, like, I hope Buzzsprout, I mean, Buzzsprout invented the tag, basically, and I hope that they put in something in their UI, because as soon as they put that in there, I'm going to start slurping that stuff up and I will immediately create an endpoint called recommendations, and it's going to be nothing but pod rolls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, like, why not? That's organic recommendation engine without algorithms.
I love it.
Let's see. I've got, you know, I started to raise the podcasting 2.0 to threat level alpha.
Threat level alpha? What does that mean?
You know, like, and then I saw what YouTube came out with, and I decided, nah. It's not. It's. There's no threat.
Well,
so right now we're still at green. Everything's green.
I somehow it's like I'm a crack addict. But when I listen to the new media show, because like I know I should not light up this pipe. I know that it's going to make me puke at the end of this high I'm going to have. But I can't stop myself from listening to Todd and Rob argue about YouTube. It's really like, oh, I'm so wasted right now, man. Like, oh no, I'm getting sick off of this crack, but I can't stop it. I need another hit. And it was interesting to hear Rob do almost a 180 on, YouTube pretty much flubbed it all. And I don't know what's going on. But my takeaways were the following thing. That's really important. And it's something we've talked about before, but podcasting is not all about making money and a career. And it's just not. And I was thinking, you know, like, well, first of all, you cannot serve two masters. You know, either you're making a great product and people and you can monetize that, or you're just out for money and you're going to make a product to reverse into it. This is no different than blogging. Blogging became microblogging, became social networking. And 99% of all people, just will not make any money on social media or blogging, or, you know, and then we went down to the lowest common denominator, which was banner ads and clickbait and stuff. And that brought down the CPM to, you know, pennies. And this is where podcast advertising is headed now that we have DAI. And it's just because there's unlimited inventory, so there's no scarcity. So it just, you know, you name it, how much do you want? It's not a problem. It's just going to go. It's a race to the bottom. And what value for value has done is a couple things. One, it has given people a metric for motivational engagement. And that's very
motivational engagement.
It's very specific. So looking at an Albi wallet or a helipad and seeing people listening in real time, and seeing feedback and value being contributed, irrespective of the amount of money it is in fiat terms, is just a number. Right. More exciting is it's a row of ducks. Then what does that even mean? I mean, I don't know how much is that in pennies or dollars or whatever. It's an engagement system that motivates people when they're doing something that they're doing. Todd's metric is always 98 or 97% of people don't do it for money. I believe that. I think it's probably close. But you can also. This very podcast is an excellent example of a podcast that exists not to make money. It is a podcast mm-hmm. that exists to support a community that's a community resource. You and I take no money out of this. It goes into keeping the community going with the systems that we need, with the reserve to make sure we stay alive and to continue to provide liquidity and low cost routing, etc. This is a type of podcast that I think a lot without value for value, but people use to support their hobby, their club, their whatever it is. And the podcast industrial complex is just so insane about making money. And that's not what podcasting is. But you'd think that's all that it's about. If you listen to podcast news shows or podcast industry information, it's all about advertising's up, and this is up, and this is up, and this is up. Who cares? Most people just want to do a podcast because they want to be heard. And with value for value in the digital sense of podcasting 2.0, you have this beautiful metric that makes you feel good. It's what has always been the differentiator in podcast hosting companies has been statistics. We've got great stats. We've got real-time stats. We've got better stats. We've got stats with maps. We've got stats with charts. And this is an unbelievable stat. Oh, someone's listening right at this very moment. I see it. Every minute they listen, I see something that tells me someone's listening. It's much bigger than what the podcast industrial complex is selling people. It's a shame, really. It's a shame because people always think, "Oh, but I can be an influencer. I can do a podcast. I'll make some money." Probably not.
The podcast industrial complex is a self-lick. It's a self-licking ice cream cone. The PIC is the digital advertising industry with podcasting as like an add-on module.
They've just
plugged in podcasting on the side. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's they don't really care about it.
You get organic discovery.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah. They don't really care about podcasting as podcasting. It's just another way to siphon off a percentage of an advertising revenue stream.
Yes.
And so podcasting itself is irrelevant. I mean, podcast consultants, they need to get their clients into the YouTube ecosystem in order to get a cut of that sweet YouTube money.
Yes.
So therefore they define away the meaning of what podcasting is using some sort of like George Bush, fuzzy math. And like, they're no longer soldiers. They're enemy combatants.
Yes.
So we just changed the terminology. Changed the
terminology.
And,
that's good.
And every, that's now good. Everything becomes podcasting, and it's a joke. And so they do these ridiculous surveys with inconsistent results, and extrapolate always at the end of them that it's obviously beneficial to have more YouTube. So they'll say, "Oh, well, everybody listens to their podcasts on YouTube." And then they'll say, "Well, how many of the top podcasts are on YouTube? And, out of the top 100, well, 5.
Right.
Well, then this is an inconsistent result. This shows that your survey is full of crap.
Yeah.
And like it's the whole thing. I don't know. This kind of goes back to this debate that I really don't want to get into, but just to bring it up about whether something is quote unquote government funded. Or whether it just gets funding from the government.
Yeah.
And I get, we had this, there's this, of course, this NewsGuard organization is getting sued because they've taken government money to do, to do a project for the government. And did more research on this week, and it was they had a $25,000 advance to do a pilot. Mm. Program to provide initial AI work using their misinformation fingerprint database to supply to the Defense Department. Yes. And then the idea is if this was a good product, then they, you know, get the full award. So it's clear to me that this was, you know, a project that they did for the government.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that there's this big debate around whether or not something becomes quote unquote government funded. And, you know, I understand and the reason I'm attaching this to YouTube is because this is also very similar to this idea of digital advertising, whether something is, whether or not the money you get from the advertiser is a corrupting influence on the content of the show or the content of what you're delivering.
By definition.
Yes. So you have these ideas there. It's like, well, I just get a portion of my money from the government. Therefore, you know, it's because I delivered such and such a project or product and I got paid for it. Therefore, you know, it's not fair to call me government funded because that implies that I wouldn't exist without government. And I can understand that. I understand the distinction there that is trying to be made. I always come back to this. There's this old sort of thought experiment that goes like this. You're walking down the alleyway. You're walking down a dark alleyway in Chicago with your wife, and you just left a restaurant at 2:00 in the morning. You're walking down this alleyway, and at the other end of the alleyway, you see three figures in hoodies walking towards you.
Wow. Hold on a second. I think we need some spooky music with this. You're walking down the alleyway.
So you're going down the alleyway and you see these three figures approaching. And they emerge out of the smoke that's rising out of the manhole cover. you catch your breath in your throat and you look at your wife and you're scared.
Yes.
Would it make a difference to you if you knew that these three men just came out of a Bible study?
Wow.
Of course the answer is, of course it would make a difference. It would make all the difference in the whole world.
Yes.
So the idea that the context of a thing is corrupted or determined by small inputs like that, like a little bit of context can flavor an entire interaction. And so it's now, I guess what I'm trying to say here is that it doesn't matter if you're government funded or if you're funded by the government. The mere fact that you get your money, that you get any portion of your money from the government, taints or gives flavor to all of your content.
Yeah.
And whether it's fair or not, it is a thing that you are going to have to live with because it is an unavoidable aspect of human nature that those interpretations are going to be made. And it's the same way with advertising. If you get your money, any portion of it, 1% from advertisers, people are always going to, from time to time, not always, but from time to time, people are going to question whether or not your content has been subtly pushed in the direction that is favorable to an advertiser. It is unavoidable.
Well, just by definition that you're not going to talk about a competing product. That's censorship right there.
Right.
Self-censorship.
Right. And I see people that fight against this and they try to push through it and say, look, I'm not going to censor what I say. And they have varying degrees of success with it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes an advertiser pulls out, sometimes they don't. But But the idea there is that in both cases, the perception is all that matters. And that's what I mean. Like when those, you know, when it's at night and those three guys are walking towards you, the perception, your fear is driven purely by the perception of the situation. And that's always the case. Perception is reality in every one of these cases. Whether that's fair to you or not is sort of irrelevant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying is what we are doing here matters. It's important. And value for value is not about money per se. It's not an alternative to advertising. Mm-hmm. It can be competitive with the payout. It can be, but at its basis, I'm just excited by, I'm still excited when I hear pew. You know, I hear pew. I mean, sometimes I leave it open, you know, the speaker's still on, and I hear pew, and I run back. Oh, let me see. What did they say? What's the numerology of it? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's never about, oh, I made another buck. It's never about that. Conversely, yeah. We celebrated 16 years of No Agenda yesterday.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. And go ahead and listen to the donation segment. It blows me away. It blows me away that people, not one, not two, 10, are pulling $1,000 out of their pocket. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Amazing.
But besides that, what they're saying in the notes is, you know, I might have been dead. Literally, mm-hmm. We get that quite often. I might have been dead if you hadn't influenced my thinking. Where I got out of a bad situation, or I determined to change something in my life based upon the way you looked at a news story, or I'm not all freaked out about news stories. You know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons. That's what excites me. Mm-hmm. It really does. Like, oh, wow. And that's been now that value for value. And I don't care what you're doing. It took us a long time to get to a place where it could support two families. It took us years yeah. and years, probably now early days. I think it might be easier now because we have more tools just in general to communicate. We didn't have, you know, we had PayPal. That was the only thing we had, but we didn't have, MailChimp. We didn't have these easy mail, you know, newsletter things. We didn't have all these different, we barely had social media mm-hmm. as a thing. But it took years and years and years. And for it to be sustaining. And that's, you know, it can be done. And, you know, when people say, yeah, but you had a name, bull crap. You know, go ahead and walk around and say Adam Curry, but huh?
If you had started a music show, that may have pulled over, but not for what you did. I mean, that's you were starting from scratch.
And we've never done video. Never contemplated it. And we're not on Spotify.
Well, I just think the YouTube podcast industrial complex, like just don't go that direction. I mean, like, you know, and honestly, just digital advertising in general. I mean, just be prepared. If that's the route you choose, just be prepared to have always that perception that's attached to your content. And, you know, I go and I read news. I had to figure out, we had a special election in our Alabama House District the other day, and I have no problem going to AL.com or the local news and seeing who won the election. That's mm-hmm. an objective thing that I go and I check out. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. I don't think they're compromised that I'm not going to find out who actually won the election or not. Yeah. That's not an issue.
Right.
But am I going to go and, you know, read a piece from them about, you know, about a local about a local business when that business may have been an advertiser? I'm going to be a little bit skeptical of that. I'm probably just not even going to read the article.
Right.
So, I mean, that, and that's what you're going to have to fight. I mean, the podcasting is a long staying power. Staying power is, mm-hmm. is 90% of podcasting. Look at James every single day.
Yep.
And you've got, I couldn't do it. I'm already telling you, I could not do it every single day podcast for year after year after year.
Yeah, it's a real commitment.
It is. It is. And the commitment eventually does pay off. If you try to shortcut and just say, I'm going to do YouTube.
Yeah.
You're just cheapening your own product.
And you don't have control over discovery. You don't have control. You just don't have control.
That's right.
Yeah. And all of this, I love this RSS deep dive that we're doing right now, the whole group, mm-hmm. because this will lead to better RSS content distribution in general and discovery through RSS. And it will work with written word. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have a remote item for blogs.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
You know? And I think ultimately, and welcome again, Andrew Grummet. Good to have him on podcastindex.social. Progressive web apps. You know, because that's the next thing. Actually, Todd said that, you know, we still have the World Wide Web, if anyone still knows what that means. And I'm like, yeah, you know, a lot of people don't. They think they have Google.
Yeah.
I got Google. I hit this button and I search and I get answers and I find stuff. But that's Google, right?
Mm.
No, that's the web.
That's and the web, we forget that the web is the original decentralized.
Yes.
Like there's so many times where we look at these other protocols and we're like, you know, we think, okay, well this protocol is going to meet my needs for decentralization. Really, the web is the most decentralized thing that exists.
Yep.
I mean, look at the number of aggregation points for feeds. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. I mean, if you look at the weekly stats, hosting stats dump that we do. I mean, that thing has 2,000 entries. You know, that's equivalent to something like, you know, 2,000 IPFS nodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it really that many? It's 2,000? Really? That's amazing.
It's a lot. That list is huge.
And that's all hosting companies, individual servers, et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, let me pull that up. I'm kind of curious now. Let me see if I can get to my to the last version of that I had.
And it's a great way to hide it. You know, you're so right. It is so beautiful that that's all decentralized.
Well, we're gonna have Todd and Mike Dell from Blueberry on
next week.
Mm-hmm. Next week, so that we can talk. One of the things we're going to talk about is their proposal for what they call alternate feed.
Yep.
And I've been thinking a lot about it and I dig it. I think it's very useful, but it relies on this idea of decentralizing just using the web itself.
I'm all for that.
There's, you know, you have Anchor, Spreaker. These are just, these are ordered by the number of feeds they host.
Okay.
And so currently, Anchor, Spreaker, Buzzsprout, iVoox, SoundCloud, RSS.com, Podbean, Libsyn, Podomatic, CastBox. I'm going to go down a few of these.
Yeah, go. Feedburner, just keep going. I want to hear the names.
Blueberry, LibriVox, Acast, Castos, Red Circle, Islam House.
Woohoo! Allahu Akbar!
Cambridge University, Captivate, Transistor, Hubhopper, Simplecast, Omni Content. Okay, and it keeps going, and it just goes scroll, page,
wow.
page.
I mean,
all the way down. So there's once you get down to less than 100, there's just a bazillion of these things. So there's...
What kind of names? I want to hear the names.
Cashfly, TheGuardian.com, Listen Notes, you remember they have some kind of little small hosting service.
Yeah.
Let's see, myinochurch.co.uk, thechangebook.org.
How many feeds from feeds.noagendanotes.com? What is it? No Agenda. What is our feed?
NA Show Notes.
Is that NA Show Notes? Yeah, it probably is.
NA Show Notes.
How many are coming from that?
Seven. Yeah, seven from nashownotes.com. Right after nashownotes.com is webgeekspc.com, catholicopedia.net.
I love this. Yeah, that's your decentralized web right there.
That's it. Mockingbirdnetwork.com, whatever that is, podcastage.com. There's a million of these. Mississippistate.edu.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Podcasting is already decentralized.
I love
it. Really
that.
Is. I mean, anything we'd add to it is just sort of, it's an overlay.
Right.
We're not enhancing it beyond what it already is.
When I think about it, you know, if you look at, like, as you're talking about news, like Google News, no wonder they hate RSS, because it's like, no. We scrape. We organize and we rank it and we show it, mm-hmm. because that's what they do. You know, and now they may be under the hood. I'll bet they're picking up a lot more RSS feeds than they'd be willing to admit. But mm-hmm. Google News, you know, they're pulling it in from all these sources. They want to be your news reader, and they don't want you to know how to do it yourself. They don't want you to do it yourself. They don't want people who are creating news or reporting news or whatever it is, or what content. They don't want you to self-organize. That's our job.
Ice Cube Soup, the web is decentralized. It's DNS, it's URLs, it's links. Everybody hosts their own thing. That's the ultimate decentralization. Just because something
this is why the app ecosystem was built, was to obfuscate the web. And there was Steve Jobs' vision. His vision was progressive web apps. If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. That was, I wasn't paying attention to that. When the iPhone first came out, I thought I was one of the ones that was like, this is bull crap. This is a joke. This isn't going to last. It just took over. Cause I was like, nobody's ever going to type on their screen. Everybody's going to want a little keyboard.
It's okay. My wife, she is the best canary in the coal mine. As long as you do the opposite, her two famous claims, one, who's ever going to use a credit card? That makes no sense.
That's better than mine.
And the next one is, who will want to make a phone call while they're standing outside? Who wants a phone in their pocket?
I love it.
Whenever she says, who wants that? I'm like, we have a winner.
Invest. Buy
stocks now. Yeah. Well, good. I'm very, the only other thing I just wanted to put on people's radar, I just want to keep it on the radar, is for the lit shows, you know, the WebSocket. I don't know if that's been written up yet as a part. I don't know if that's a part of the namespace or how we do that. But I always feel super crappy when I do a Boostagram Ball live and people are listening on Fountain and Podverse, which has great mm-hmm. lit functionality, but then they're boosting and it's not going to the artist.
Well, I was sort of waiting on Podcast Guru and Stephen B to figure out what that spec was going to be. But okay. If you guys need my help, I mean, like if you want everybody getting involved in that, you know, send out the bat signal so we all know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the remote item and the, is much more important, but it's a part of it, I guess, in a way. But mm-hmm. you know, the interfaces for the synthetic feeds and, you know, like the Fountain is doing a good job. And I've seen the Podcast Guru stuff of, you know, tapping in, you see Boostagram Ball, you can find the song. I want to subscribe to artists. I want to follow artists. That's what I want. That's just it. I mean, but just like a podcast, I want to follow authors for their audio books, all this stuff, all of it.
Yeah. And if anybody likes metal, that Lightning Thrasher show is killer. Please, is good. Yeah, that is a good show.
Yeah, I got to be in the right vibe for that. You know, it's like,
yeah, you have to get yourself jacked up for metal. I'm ready for it all the time.
Let me see what the most recent shows are. I go to my desktop web app, LN Beats. Love the desktop. So we're still at 13 shows that we're aware of right now. Homegrown Hits. I like that one a lot. DeLorean. Mm. I like Homegrown Hits. And, but I'm still a big fan of, what is it?
It's a Mood.
It's a Mood. Yeah, It's a Mood. That's cool. I get ideas for the show from It's a Mood. That's good. Shall we thank a few people?
Yeah, my voice is starting to go.
Yeah. I got to get you back under the covers with a hot toddy.
Some tea.
500 sats here from Radio Pete. Boost, first ever boost. Hello. We've de-virginized your boostage. You have the maidenhead of my boosting, he says. Go podcasting 2.0, not listening live as I have my head under a grubby bath sorting out a leak. Shall catch up tomorrow with board's permish. Of course, you can always catch up tomorrow. 33,333 from Cotton Jim. Pew, we got your pew. Dreb Scott with 5555, which is, according to John C. Dvorak, a row of swans.
Oh,
even though
that's valid.
Yeah, even though, well, you know him. And Dreb Scott says, question about the TOC. Will there be issues with TOC inception weirdness when using the relay and your own chapters or hypercatcher chapters with its own TOC? I think the answer is no. If you mark something as TOC in your own chapters, or I don't know if hypercatcher has a toggle for that, it'll just be respected.
Yeah, it should just come straight through.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any problems. And by the way, Dreb, thank you for hanging in there. Some people might have gone, well, F this, man. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to do chapters anymore. Some people are like that. You're not. I love you for that, brother. Thank you for hanging in and keeping with it.
Yeah.
Because we're basically messing up his art right now, which is I take seriously. I didn't realize how much it would mess it up, but now we know. Sir Sean Reiser, go podcasting with 1,000 sats. Sir TJ the Wrathful with 3333. Artist check with Mike to see if you're on the index, or just don't use Wavelake. Use music side projects. Thank you, Stephen Bell. Check with
There's
Mike.
There's a show title. Let's
check with Mike. I'll write that one down. Check with
the,
Mike.
Mike. The pull request of the Wavelake pull request.
Sir Libra, 2112. We got, I wish I could listen live. Unfortunately, working in the Fiat mines. Thank you for all the support. There's Dovidas with 10,000 sats. If anyone would like to do their own RSS music show, find a link to our guide at RSS Blue on podcastindex.social. It's in the show notes as well. Or email info@rssblue.com. I'll help you get started. 3333 from Chad F. New tracks also show up at the top of search in LN Beats. Yes, of course. It's part of the Stephen Bell Emporium of apps, so that makes nothing but sense. There's the two from Dovidas about the DB and the value time splits, which we read. NA Millennial 4200. Shout out to Eric PP and Dave for the helipad update. Tenfold improvement. Stay on the offensive.
Oh, no, I have nothing to do with this. I literally just approve merge pull requests.
Yeah. It's
Eric
beautiful.
Is doing all of it. Yes.
It's a beautiful tool. And it's fast.
It's basically his app at this point. I'm just moral support.
Well, I'm loving it. I run it on Start OS and it's fantastic. 1,000 from Sam Sethi, CEO of PodFans. And he says, put boost in the boost tab. He has a boost tab. And if extra events, put them in a new events tab, but leave the chapters tab alone. It makes a mess of the UI and conflicts.
Yeah, well, but you can split it into UI it your own way. Yeah,
exactly.
It's in the same file, but when you in your UI, you can just rip it out and stick it somewhere else. Rip it and stick it.
Rip it and stick it. 10,000 sats from Salty Crayon. This is Salty Crayon. Don't we know Salty Crayon? Crayon says, howdy, boardroom. Just wanted to say a big thanks to both Adam and Dave for getting me to take the plunge into V4V music podcasting. Got something I'm putting together, and after the developments of the chapter boost and the split kit, I'm doing it. Y'all motivated me to dive in and give it a shot. Much appreciated. Go podcasting. Well, what's the name of your show, bro? Let us
Critical
know.
Mistake.
Yeah. 13,579 from Chimp. who just says, tally-ho, tally-ho to you. Says it twice with twice that amount. Thank you. Midas, 5,000 sats. Loving the helipad update. Thank you, brother. And thank you, Eric PP again. Chad F, Podverse is a go. Okay, I guess. Dreb Stott with a super... Oh, he is. Can't remember what JCD called this boost. A row of swans, geese. And he does 55,555 sats. Thank you, brother. Go podcasting. We got, let me see. I think that's it. That's it for the live boost. And thank you all very much for supporting the live and lit show of Podcasting 2.0 with your value in return for the value you obviously are receiving.
The two archangels of Podcasting 2.0, Marco Arment, $500.
Whoa, baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
And Kevin and Tom from Buzzsprout, $500.
Thank you, Rose. That's so appreciated. That always makes us feel good at the end of the month that we know that we can pay the bills.
I had beers with Tom. He was in town here in Birmingham a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was great. We went and had some brews and talked about everything in the world for a couple hours. It was great to see him again.
What was he doing in Birmingham? Is he a family there?
It was a family thing, but like him, I think his daughter was visiting a college up here.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
So he'd stop by to say hey and hang out for a while.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. See, we got some, that was it for PayPals. We got some Boostergrams. We got, look who, speak of the devil, Ainsley Costello, 2,500 sats.
Ooh,
to
thank
pod
you.
Pod fans. Love the show this week. So excited to be such a big part of solving for a new music industry.
Oh, big
like
part.
Solving for a music, yeah, like that.
Definitely. Big part of it.
Mere Mortals podcast, Kyron, 2222 through Fountain. He says, it's true. It really is all my fault. to clarify, Mere Mortals is where I do all the interview and conversations. The Value for Value podcast is for education and explaining the ethos, practical implementation, boosting this at the appropriate section to see how it will show up in the chapter comments. They will hate you for it, Kyron.
Yes, you're a hated man now. Stop boosting everybody. You're ruining it.
Gene Bean. Good job on the Pod News Weekly Review, Gene.
Yes, that was funny to hear him. I like that. It was cool to hear him do the alley oops for James.
There's rumble that he has radio chops from the past, but they didn't talk about that on the show.
Well, there's lots of rumble. He's doing. He has new things coming out, like some sermons or something. I'm very interested to hear what he's got coming out.
2222 through Castomatic. He says, I had an idea about the deep kinks. I think he may have meant deep links, but he said deep kinks.
Okay.
I've got to click on.
That's an interesting autocorrect. What have you been texting people?
You know, it is AI.
Yep.
I had an idea about the deep kinks Dave talked about, but figure the details made more sense on Mastodon. And he has a link to a post here on Mastodon.
What does he say?
He says, assuming it doesn't already exist, could you all define a podcast deep link spec that says deeplinks.podcastindex.org, channel GUID, item GUID should prompt opening in any podcast app similar to how. Yeah. Okay. So we've had lots of different goes at this in the past. And here's the quick answer is yes, we could do this. We could do what you talk about, which is have a linking service where you link to a podcast episode on the podcast index, and then we provide a bunch of links to open them up in the corresponding apps. The reason that I haven't done it is because there are podcast services out there that already do this that also use us.
Yeah, and we don't want to compete.
And our ethos is never compete.
Right.
We just don't want to go out and do something and like Plink or, you know, these services, they already do it. And I'm not going to go and start doing things that other people already do.
Right. We do not want to be a destination. We just want to be a playground.
Yeah. Gene, if you want to build it,
yeah,
you should build that and then make it available. And then, we'll, you know, we'll talk about it and promote it and all that kind of stuff. But we're not going to do it though.
No.
Gene Bean again, 1337 through Cast May says, okay, that was cool. I paused the show, boosted, hit play, and saw my boost show up as chapter art.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
That is pretty cool.
It does it that fast, huh? What is Franco doing over there?
I don't know.
That's quick. Dynamite. Very cool.
Oh, I think he pulls the fresh chapter file every time you hit play. I think that's the way that works.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Oppie 1984, 4,000 sats through Fountain. He says, FYI, Office Hours 2.0 has been playing V for V music recently. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Office Hours, that's Jupiter, Chris over there at Jupiter Broadcasting.
Cool.
Cameron 9999. I'm assuming this is the Cameron.
The Cameron of IPFSpodcasting.net.
Yes, and this is through Podverse. He says, hell yeah, for the split calculator.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that's on the to-do list. Todd from Northern Virginia, 22222. Wow, the voice is really cracking.
You're almost there, brother. Hang in.
I see the light.
You're like, remember that episode of the Brady Bunch where the kid's voice starts to change? Greg, one of them. Hey, he can't sing. Or was the Partridge? Maybe it was the Partridge Family. I can't remember.
No, I know it was Brady Bunch.
Was Brady Bunch?
Because the song was Change or something like that. Yeah.
That you're just like that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
man.
You're welcome. You're welcome, bro. You're welcome.
If only you could see my braces. Todd from Northern VA, 22222 through Podverse. He says, Roa Ducks, go podcasting.
Oh, man, you are really on the last straw.
It's falling apart here.
Last straws. I know what this feels like.
Slude, 54321 through Fountain. He says, aye, my wife is a gypsy and I'm a Romanian.
This is from our gypsy talk.
Yes. And using the word Romani as the new word for gypsy is cultural appropriation by the gypsies.
Okay.
Also, the stereotypes you were throwing out as far as envisioning a gypsy are mostly accurate.
With the blouse and the gold earrings and the nose ring. Yes. All right. We nailed it.
Cass Peeland, 3690. Through Fountain, he says, fix the license. Thanks for the work.
Mm.
Oh, yep. Kyron, 1111, a Satchel of Richards through Podcast Index, he says, could you explain what the MK Ultra chat is again, please? I want to start looking at getting a chat room for my podcast. Is this something that would suit my use case? The answer is eventually yes. Right now, no, because it's still in pieces. Chat room for the MK Ultra chat is a ephemeral chat where you spin up a chat room and it just lasts as long as the show. So that's the way that works. I will, you know, eventually get back to that project, but I would say for a chat room, you know, look at something like just use ActivityPub, honestly. Just, you know, throw out, say that's my chat room. Or an
IRC channel.
Yeah. If you jump on IRC.
I think you can use the void0.net and create a channel.
Yeah. Create a...
I think you're free to do that there.
Create if a not, pound we'll ask, mortals.
We'll ask void0 to hook you up.
Okay.
And it'd be just like what we're... Just like the big boys. Just like the pros, Carmen.
The pros. Let's see, 33 over 10, 69,000 sats.
Woo!
Through Breeze.
Oh.
And he says, my boost was short, probably lightning liquidity things, so here's the rest. JCD's lost is Dave Mose and Tina's gain.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I saw that come in as well. We appreciate
thank
that,
you,
brother.
Thank you, 33.
Thank you.
Nicholas B58, 22222 through Fountain, he says, listened on web, needed a boost.
Yeah, boost.
Thank you, brother. And the delimiter, which threw me a curveball this week because he sent 32015 instead of 33015.
Yes, this is because of the value of Bitcoin has gone up versus fiat money. So he's keeping it in check.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's recalculated. Okay. Comic strip blogger says, howdy, non-Slavic Caucasians, Dave and Adam. Ever wonder how much rage you're packing? Tune in to Planet Rage.
Oh, okay.
All right, I got to swallow here. Tune in to Planet Rage, where two Caucasians, one of them half Slavic, rate your fury on the latest world blunders. This week, Biden as a war president, and why Keith Olbermann is our rant radar. Celebrating 100 fiery episodes, join the Rage Parade, because misery loves comedy. Visit www.planetrage.show and let's boil some blood together. Yo, CSB!
Boost!
Thank you all very much for your contributions. I'll do a quick check of the tally coin, but that's just an afterthought because no one uses it. Nope. Oh, wait. I'm wrong. Uh-oh. Whoa. Check it out. Chimp.
Oh, Chimp.
Chimp. Yep. 95,564. I'll call that a baller boost. That's close enough. Tap, tap. Is this thing on? Yes, it is. It worked. You did it.
With mempool fees, that is a baller boost.
Wasn't that Chimp the same one that... didn't we see Chimp earlier?
Yeah, he sent one before
Tally ho. He said tally ho. Maybe that was the code word, tally ho. Go to tally coin. I got it. Okay, well, it nailed it. Beautiful, tally-ho. Man. You can find the tally ho for on-chain Bitcoin at podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. Two big red buttons, not to deplatform somebody, but to donate. One goes to the Fiat Fun Coupon Gateway, which is being used less and less each day, which is good. Although we always appreciate our hosting partners and Marco and people jumping in with some good coinage at the end of the month. It's highly appreciated. Also, we've got a link there to the Tally Coin. And, of course, we recommend that you get a Podcasting 2.0 app. It is the way of the future, and we appreciate all of the support you give us, your time, your talent, and your treasure. And there's a lot of the first two T's going around, and you can find it at podcastindex.social. You can follow Dave at podcastindex.social, Adam at podcastindex.social, or if you really feel you need to be on the server, hit us up. We'll be happy to send you an invite link. Brother, I'm going to let you go.
Oh, I got some monthlies, though. I'm sorry.
Yes, please do the monthlies.
You got Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Sean McCune, $20. Thank you, Sean. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Jordan Dunville, $10. Dreb Scott, $15. And Michael Kimmerer, $5.33.
These matter. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, these are really sustaining monthlies. We appreciate that. We can always count on those. Each one of those is one or maybe two or sometimes three servers. So believe me, it really does matter.
Brother, and now I really do have to.
Yeah, you got to stop. You got to stop. Thank you, chat room. We love you. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Our live studio audience. Dave, thank you so much, my brother. We'll be talking. Feel better. Heal.
Thank you, man.
No, you're supposed to sit when I say heal. Ah! All right, everybody. That's it for the board meeting. We'll be back next Friday. Another board meeting right here. Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Put a stick in your app.